The Old Testament reading for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 45. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who called you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun from the west and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning takes place in the week of Holy Week. So throughout this time, the Pharisees have been trying to trap Jesus, hoping that he would say something incriminating, hoping that they could find some excuse, however little it might be, to carry out their plan of eliminating him and getting him out of the way. Our text begins with yet another trap. The Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words, we're told. But first, they decide they're going to butter him up with a little bit of flattery. "Ah, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. You do not care about anyone's opinions, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us what you think." Well, after blowing some smoke, they spring their trap. "Is it lawful Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, the trap, of course, if Jesus were to answer yes, then he's siding with Rome, the foreign occupiers. There's a lot of patriotic Jews, which are probably what the Herodians are there in verse 16. Well, they aren't going to like that. If Jesus answers no, well, then he's opposing Caesar. And Caesar, of course, crushes his opposition, which would be perfect for the Pharisees. They would love for the Romans to get rid of this thorn in their side named Jesus. But Jesus, who, of course, we must remember, is God in the flesh, knows what is in the hearts of men. He sees right through these snakes, aware of the malice, it says. He replied, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin." They brought him a denarius. Jesus said, "Whose likeness is this in the inscription? Who is it?" They said, "Well, Caesar's." They said to him, he said to them, "Therefore render," or give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Of course, when they hear it, they marvel. Jesus, of course, God in the flesh. They marvel, they leave him, they go away. They have nothing else to say. Now, we've probably heard these words before, but when we hear, "Therefore render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, unto God the things that are God's," when we hear that, we tend to focus most, if not all of our attention, on the first part of that. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We also tend to not like that part so much either, because that means that we have to pay our taxes, of course. But that's not all. It means that we need to honor the government. As we heard 3 weeks ago now, that we do honor the authorities that God has placed over us. It means that we need to pray for the kings and those who are in high positions. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2. It means also that if called upon, we might serve our country, perhaps even giving up our lives in service of our fellow countrymen. So clearly there are things that we owe our government. We do have a duty to the government according to God's word, according to Christ himself. However, it is also clear in Jesus' words, we are only to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. You see, the things that are Caesar's does not include all things. Caesar, which is really just shorthand here, extends out to just government, right? Government has limits. Whether he, Caesar, recognizes it or not, Caesar is not God. Whenever or wherever Caesar goes beyond his limits, he's trespassing. He's going beyond where God has given him rights to go. He is forcing himself into areas that God has not given to him. Then, not only are we required not to obey, but we must not. We must firmly oppose him and stand against Caesar in that case. Yet, in the weakness of our flesh, what are we inclined to do? For the sake of comfort, we find it far easier to render unto Caesar whatever he demands, far easier than to render unto him even that which belongs only to God. We're tempted to put our trust in princes, in this temporal life, as if this is all that matters. We begin looking to Caesar for all of our good blessings. We might even look to the state and think, well, if they say it's not illegal, then it must be okay. Or we fall prey into believing that if only the right guy would be elected in the next coming election, if only then everything is just going to be all right. We find ourselves trusting more in this present world and its many Caesars than we do in God. Far too often we render unto Caesar the things that belong only to God. This, dear Christians, should not be. As Psalm 146, verse 3 tells us, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation." Philippians 3:2 says, "Our citizenship is in heaven." You see, the government has limits. It cannot, it must never have jurisdiction over your faith and your trust in the one true God. Caesar has no authority over your conscience, over your heart and your mind and your conscience, which is cleansed by the blood of Christ. And Caesar is not the moral authority either. I think that's obvious, but the government may very well determine certain things to be legal, like abortion, for example. Or they might decide that they're going to rework the definition of marriage and make it say all sorts of things. And they continue then to ratchet up the dial, trying to convince us that more and more decadence and more sin is normal and morally acceptable and should be legal. But in doing so, they are falling short of their duty because they are going beyond, in some cases, way beyond God's moral law that has been revealed in creation, in man's heart, and of course, revealed to us in Scripture. For right and wrong, morality, ultimately are defined by God alone. So render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but unto God the things that are God's. So here's the thing. If the government isn't forcing you to violate your conscience and violate God's word, then be the best possible citizen that you can be. But when they try to force you to transgress God's word, when they tell you what you can and cannot confess with your lips or believe with your heart and your mind, when they require you to worship the one true God as they deem necessary, they see fit, then we, like Peter and the apostles in Acts chapter 5, must obey God rather than men. Pastor Richard Wurmbrandt, or Wurmbrandt, if you were to say it correctly, was a Romanian Lutheran minister who spent about 14 years in communist prison in Romania. In 1945, when the communists seized Romania, they attempted to control the churches and use them for their own purposes. But Wurmbrandt refused to obey men rather than God. Instead, he began an underground ministry, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, even to Russian communist soldiers. Very fruitful ministry, by the way. These men were starving to hear about Jesus. Instead, he began this underground ministry rather than obeying the government. And he had the gall to confess publicly before the world that Christ is the only Savior, not the government. And that at its core, communism is atheistic. There is no God in communism. Communism and Christianity are therefore incompatible. He said this publicly. And for that, he was arrested in 1948. At the hands of the communists, Wurmbrandt endured brutal torture. He was starved. He was beaten. They tried brainwashing him for 17 hours a day. Communism is good. Communism is good. Communism is good. Christianity is dead. Christianity is dead. Christianity is dead. Give up. Give up. And so on. And so on. Wurmbrandt witnessed the most unspeakable, vile blasphemy and mockery of Christ, all done in order for him to renounce his faith in Jesus Christ and obey the government. Render unto Caesar the things that belong to God alone. Thanks be to God, he never did. Eventually, in 1964, he was ransomed for $10,000. And he went on then to tell the world the evils of communism in his famous book, Tortured for Christ. He also founded the international organization called the Voice of the Martyrs, which you can still, it still exists today. It continues to aid Christians around the world who are persecuted for their faith, which really continues to happen. So let us not neglect then the second half of Christ's statement, render unto God the things that are God's. What belongs to God? Everything. Our entire being belongs to God. Our life, our body, our soul, our honor, our praise, our worship, all of it belongs to God. He is the creator of all things. He is the Lord over all, even Caesar. And he is the spring from which everything flows and which everything then must return to again. So the Pharisees, trying to trap Jesus, should have rendered or given unto God the things that are God's, but they refused. They rejected the Son of God. They rejected God in the flesh in their midst. They rejected his word, and therefore they rejected his salvation. So what are these things that we are to render unto God? Well, yes, obviously everything. Everything is to be rendered to God. Our lives, our soul, all our possessions, very salvation, all of it. It's all gift. It all belongs to God and is given to us. These are God's blessings to us alone. Yet, specifically, we are to render unto God our repentance. That is, we reply back to God that, yes, indeed, He is right. We are indeed unworthy sinners in desperate need of His forgiveness, of His present deliverance, and as well His eternal deliverance. And we turn away from what God says is wrong, and we turn towards and we strive towards what God says is right. We hand over all of our failures, all of our sins to Christ to be eternally forgiven. We render unto God our repentance. We also render unto God our faith and our trust. We trust in Him for all of our needs, both body and soul. Not only is our entire salvation dependent on Christ alone, but every single aspect of this life, our physical life, is dependent upon Him alone as well. This is what our intro it says. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. We also render unto God our thanks and our praise and our worship. With grateful hearts, with forgiven hearts, we return thanks to our Lord. Stewardship is coming up soon. With our gifts, with our offering unto the Lord, we render unto the Lord in thanksgiving to what He has given, blessed us so much with. We praise Him with our very lives in service and sacrifice to others. We worship Him by hearing and treasuring His word here and every day of the week. We pray, praise, and give thanks without ceasing for all the benefits that Christ has earned for us on the cross, both temporal and eternal. Now, I'm going to have you turn to page 159 in your hymnal. 159. We're going to look at the offertory in Divine Service Setting 1. So look at the words there, bottom of page 159. What shall I render to the Lord? There it is, there's that word, right? Render unto the Lord for all His benefits to me. Here's what I will offer. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Of course, this is Psalm 116, right? Yes, it's the offertory, but it comes right from Psalm 116. I will take up the cup of salvation. Interesting, we sing this right before the Lord's Supper, right? The cup of salvation, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. So we render unto the Lord our thanksgiving, our sacrifice, and we receive the gifts that He gives us. This is done in response, if you look again, for all His benefits. In response to all of His benefits to me, what are those benefits? Well, I'm so glad that you asked that question. Jesus, of course, is God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He became a man. God became a man, and as a man, what does He do? The God-man renders unto God the Father the things that belong to God the Father. He renders everything. He gives everything, even death on a cross. He renders everything so that you could be reconciled with your Father in heaven, so that you could truly be a citizen of heaven, one of His children, where your citizenship is in an everlasting kingdom, not this temporal kingdom. He gave His life. He rendered His life. He suffered upon a cross so that He could imprint His image upon you in holy baptism, so that He could feed you with His very body and blood that He gave to you, gave up for you on the cross, He now gives to you in the Lord's Supper. All of this is your benefit, for your benefit, so that you would be His and that you would live in His kingdom forever. Put your trust in that Prince, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Don't fall into the trap. Yes, render under Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but never forget the second part of that. Render unto God the things that are God's. Believe and trust in this Prince alone. For he alone upholds the universe with his power, with the word of his power, and he alone gives life and salvation. So rejoice and take heart. Be certain and be confident in Christ. For the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is for you. He will keep your going out, your coming in from this time forth. He will. Unlike Caesar, he will never let you down. Never. So I end with Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.